Now my brother Wade has been coming to Labor Day for quite a number of years, longer than I have. I just started after my father's couldn't come after my father couldn't come anymore. Brother Wade, I don't think either of these was touched, so you have your choice. You can use both. But Brother Wade, it goes back even farther than Labor Day. Remember how you were a counselor down there? That's a long time ago. I don't remember the year.
1971.
We worked together. Wow, that's a long time ago, isn't it? For some of us, anyway, that's a long time. We're so glad you're so faithful and coming out to Labor Day. It's a blessing to us to see the way you seek the Lord and when you share with us. I remember what you said last year. Would you come again, please, and share what the Lord has laid on your heart? God bless you.
Okay, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will take a sip. Good. Don't you feel bad? You don't get a sip. Or maybe you would like one. It's a privilege to be here again this year, and I always look forward to coming to Labor Day Prayer Retreat, and I was looking forward again this year. And I've got so much to say, I'll make another comment about that in a few minutes. But I'm going to give you a gauge, and let's see. I'm planning on taking 20 minutes. But I want to share a text with you, and then I want to recommend a book that I already asked Pastor Eddie if I could recommend. And then I want to share with you a picture that the Lord gave to me last night. And then I'd like to share a love story. And so that's my gauge today. And let me say one other thing, too, because I was sitting there thinking. A lot of people don't know whether my name is Way or Wade or Wayne, whatever. And some people say Martin. Well, you can call me Wade or Pastor Wade, and I'm not offended if you don't call me Pastor here, okay? It's Wade. And I always tell people it's Wade in the water. So I hope you'll never forget after today. It's Wade in the water, W-A-D-E, okay? And if you say Pastor Martin, as has already been referred to here before, I'm saying, now, I know Eddie's made a comment, Martin, that my last name is Martin. But I'm probably like most of you, I'm looking around. Who's Pastor Martin? I am hardly ever called by that. And my wife is called Sister Wade. So Martin has almost gotten lost. But again, it's a privilege to be here. And I want to share with you my text. You know it well. Actually, Eddie asked me this morning if I would share a little bit, and I went home after the service this morning and jotted down some ideas that were just there in my spirit. And it started with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, maybe you've heard this before. I know you know the reference, but it tells us three things that we must do. We must do these three things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's number two. And then number three, acknowledge him. And then there's something he will do. It's a promise. He said, I will direct your paths. Okay. Now, don't do the first three things and don't have the expectation that God's going to direct your path. And I think a lot of Christians, until we learn better, we learn that and we know it well. And we try our best to do that. But for some reason, I think we question, is God really going to direct my path? Will he really direct me? And I want to tell you today, after many years, I've been a Christian this year. July 31st, I was born again 45 years ago. So it's been a long time. And I've seen God work. And I know this through many, many, many things. God will direct your path. But you must do your part. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Okay, now the three things I want to tell you really are a picture of that, that are an application. And you have to take the text and run with it yourself. Okay? And someday maybe you'll be up here telling your story. Okay? The first thing I want to tell you, and again, I asked Pastor Eddie after I happened to meet him. I came out the door and I saw him, and I had just written that I wanted to recommend a book, and he said, okay. And the first one, I want to really recommend two. The first one you know well, Pilgrim's Progress. And if you haven't read it, this is for you. Read it. Read Pilgrim's Progress. And I'm here not talking to you as a pastor today. I'm here talking as Wade. And I'm a fellow traveler. Remember, pilgrim, Christian, met many travelers along the way. Some are not so good. Others are really helpful, and others are in between. Okay. And so I'm just a traveler here today, and I need to keep my watch in mind. but I'm a fellow traveler, and what I share is because I'm a fellow traveler. I'm not here to preach necessarily, though I may be preaching, I don't know. But the book I want to recommend, and Lord willing, Jesus tarries another year, maybe you'll read it, and you can say, Pastor or Wade, I really enjoyed that book. But it's a book by Jack Hayford, and it's entitled The Beauty of Spiritual Language. We are Pentecostal people. We believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is a book that really will bless you. And so if it sticks there in your spirit, read it, and then maybe we can connect together on it next year if Jesus tarries. The Beauty of Spiritual Language by Jack Hayford. The second thing that I want to share with you is a picture of two rooms. When I was driving here yesterday, usually the Holy Spirit ministers things to me on the way here. Have you ever felt unspiritual? My trip here yesterday was very unspiritual. I did not feel like a spiritual being, even though I know I am. Okay, but in my unspiritualness, I listened to Christian radio most of the way here. And then Jay Sekulow, many of you may know that he's a Christian attorney. And so I listened to Jay Sekulow, and I listened to him quite a bit because he gave me a piece of information that I was really interested in. And maybe not everybody knows here, but John McCain has selected a vice president candidate, and her name is Sarah Palin, and she's the governor of Alaska. So I listened a lot to Jay Sekulow yesterday because I wanted to find out about who Sarah Palin was. Okay, but like I said, I was unspiritual all the way here. And I said to myself, am I tired? What's wrong? You know, I've been looking forward to coming to prayer retreat, and I'm used to God ministering while I'm driving, and that didn't happen yesterday. But when we came into the service last night, it's like God began with just when I sat down, started just filling me up with different things. And the very first thing was two rooms. The first room is... I walked into the room, and it was full of people. And maybe you've walked into a room and you've been surprised because it was full of people. Maybe a surprise birthday party or something like that. But you just walked in the room, and you were surprised. Well, you know, when I walked into the room, I really wanted to see Jesus. But I saw a lot of other people. It was full of people. Okay? And actually, there was a practical application of that for me when I walked into the dining room last night because I really wanted to talk to Pastor Eddie. Because I tried to call him about a week and a half ago, and we didn't connect then. And so I was looking for Eddie, and I saw him, and there was a crowd of you that were around him talking. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to bother him. You know, he's talking with other people. But I walked into the room, and I was expecting to talk to Eddie, okay? And that's just the way it is sometimes. And maybe you've come here with that same attitude. I walked into a room. I came to talk to Jesus. But there are other distractions. You know, that's what people become in our lives, distractions. And there are other things as well that I could apply. But then I had a picture. This happened first thing last night in the service as I got a picture of another room. Have you ever walked into a room and you're expecting all kinds of people? I walked in the room last night, and there was just one person. You know who it was? Jesus. You see, we are a room full of people. I know some of you, and I've been relearning some of your names and everything like that. But if we've come to focus on one another, we're going to be distracted. And you know what? I'm generally honest about myself. I've come to prayer retreat and I've been distracted. I've been thinking about one thing or another. I love Sister Ruth. And, you know, before I came, I thought, well, you know, if I get her early enough, maybe she'll want to play a game of Scrabble. I love Scrabble. And if we're not careful, we're distracted by a lot of different things. And in fact, I would invite you that when you come into the next service, don't step into the room where there's all kinds of other people. Step into the room where it's just Jesus. Sometimes that's shocking. To step into a room and have one other person. You're ready to talk to 5, 10, 20, 100 people. And all there is just one. Step into the room with Jesus. Let all the other distractions go in your life. I know you're just like me. You have all kinds of distractions. But we've got to step into the room where it's just Jesus. And of course, he told us what to do when you pray. Enter into your closet. Shut the door. And he who sees in secret will reward you openly. He will direct your paths, if you put it back into my original text. And I have maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but just I want to tell you a love story. Almost every year I come here, I have a love story. My story. My wife, her name is Marilyn, and we have quite a story, and I love to tell it. And actually, Amy came up to me last night, and she said she was remembering that I had told her my love story last Labor Day retreat. Well, anyway, Chris and Winnie, they got me talking about my love story at breakfast this morning, so I was telling that. And when I went back to my room, I just felt like the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to just try to tell you some of the things. I can talk for hours because God did so many things. But what I want to do is emphasize, and then again, you have to apply it to your own life, is that God does direct every single one of us individually. I'm thankful for my love story that I have with him. I can talk a while about that too. But I just want to tell you, and maybe it's just for younger persons today, but I first met my wife in Bible college, and it was the very first week in Bible college. And we took a class together. It was called sight singing. And my mind really does not conceive music. I love to sing and all that. But anyway, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll learn something about music and singing. So I took sight singing. Well, anyway, my wife, Marilyn, at that time, you know, her name, well, it's neither here nor there, but it was Marilyn Howe. And I saw her. I said, boy, she's beautiful. I like her, you know. And no sooner than I had decided that, she had a roommate, and I guess my wife had decided the same thing about me, that she liked me. But anyway, her roommate set about to try to put us together. And I have to admit, I have a huge male ego. Okay? So what I did for the next 3 years of Bible college was run the other way. And I knew I liked her. My heart told me that. I knew that. But I ran the other way because this male thing, I'm not going to let anybody chase me and catch me. I will be the chaser, okay? And what happened was that we graduated from Bible school. We hardly ever talked in Bible college. So I went back to my hometown, which is in Ohio, and I became an assistant pastor. And I only did that because I knew that I wanted to work. I went to Zion Bible College in Rhode Island. And I knew I wanted to go back there and work. Well, I was in Ohio for basically about 6 months or so, and I got a call from Zion that we want you to come back and work at the school, okay? To pick out points was it wasn't too long after that the Holy Spirit. I was sitting in a church service, much like this one, where we were worshiping and praising the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you know how the Holy Spirit works and speaks something into your spirit. Well, he spoke to me and said, write Marilyn. Now, that's the last thing on earth that I wanted to hear God say to me. Okay. It so unnerved me. Zion has a lower level and an upper a balcony. And it so disturbed me that I couldn't sit in the service any longer. I was in the lower level. And so I went up and sat in a balcony. And I said, God, if you want me to write her, you're going to have to give me the address. I'm not asking anybody for her address. You see, what had happened is that in that same time that I came from Ohio back to Rhode Island to work in the school, she had flown from Rhode Island to go to Belgium to go to school. And there was no way in the world that I was going to admit to anybody that I was going to write her. Okay? So what happened? The very next day, that was Sunday night, Monday, a woman came up to me who was a friend of Marilyn's, in fact, was her dorm parent, and she asked me if I would like to read a letter from Marilyn. And of course, you know my response? Of course, yes, I would. And you know what I was thinking? The letter likely has her address on it. So I read the letter, and sure enough, it had the address on it, and I wrote her a letter. Okay, and so we communicated by mail for a while, and then she popped a question that, again, was totally against my male ego. She said, Wade, would you like to come to Belgium? She had gone to Belgium to go to Continental Bible College in Belgium. And automatically, something inside rose up. I'm not going to Belgium, you know. There's no way I'm going there. because again, I had said to the, I said to myself a long time before, I'll never follow a woman anywhere, anywhere. So you probably have an idea what God did, but she wrote the letter. But I have to tell you again, God directs on both ends. God's working. I mean, right now you may be in a position. It may not be about a man or a woman or whatever, but God is working on every angle. He is, and you have to know that and trust in it. In order to believe that God is going to direct your steps, He's going to direct your path. Okay? So when she wrote that letter, and she knew exactly how I was going to respond when she asked me to come to Belgium. And sure enough, I'd acted that way. I responded that way. Okay? But she had to do something as well. When she wrote the letter, she was really afraid to put it in the mail. But her devotional for that morning was, faith writes the letter and drops it in the mailbox. And so she did it. And sure enough, I got angry in my spirit. Fortunately, she was in Belgium. And at that time, you didn't have instant texting or email or any of that, you know. Had a little time to think about it. But anyway, the best thing, again, is when you trust the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge Him in all your ways, you take things to God. So I took it to God in prayer and devotion, said, I don't know how God does it. I know how He does it, but then I don't. And within a matter of a few minutes, He had my whole thinking process turned around, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. So I went, eventually this takes months, but eventually I flew to Belgium, and I had already intended to ask her to marry me. I was going to ask her to marry me. Okay, so here I am in Belgium, and she tried to fix a nice dinner, but she burnt the rice and other stuff. It really didn't go well, and we took a walk after dinner, and we were walking in a park near where she was living, and I said, will you marry me? And I thought she was taking forever, and she didn't say, I can't answer. I have no response. Okay. Something else that had happened in the course of my life that I really had a difficult time understanding what love is. I grew up in a family that didn't communicate love. I didn't know touchy-feely kind of love. And so she asked me a question, Wade, do you love me? And I said, yes. 1 Corinthians 13, it's Jesus, you, and me. Some of you ladies don't like that kind of response, and Marilyn didn't like that either. She told me afterwards, she said, is this what it's going to be, a spiritual thing all of our lives, you know? She wanted to know that I really loved her, that I had some feeling or whatever. But again, in that process, God was working out something in my own heart, because I needed to move beyond what I understood of love. I understood the love of God and how He saved me and all of that. But actually, I asked her to marry me, and I haven't even held her hand yet. Never kissed her. Can you imagine it? Okay. And so anyway, she put me off. And then I think that was probably like a Friday. And I had a couple of days to cook in my own stew. And I'm talking to God and say, God, why in the world did you let me come to Belgium? You know, I spent all this money and, you know, all this. And this is what I came here for? And so anyway, we had a Sunday night service. And we were sitting at the Bible college there in Belgium. And she said, yes. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, what? Yes, what? You know, I'm saying that to myself. I didn't ask her like that. And then she said, yes, I'll marry you. And again, something just, God broke something up on the inside. And the rest of is kind of history from there. But again, it's the fact that my wife and I have been married 35 years now. And we have a lovely family. My children are serving the Lord. We have another generation that has come into the world and is coming into the world. And I'm thankful to be a grandpa. I love it. Nothing like it in the world. But again, it's the fact that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you don't lean on your own understanding. That's our problem, is that we lean on what we know. And sometimes we trust too much on what we don't know. But you leave that to God. And you acknowledge Him. Lord, Your will be done. And then He does His part. He directs your path. And if you're here today, if you need Him to direct your path, keep doing what you got to do, and God will do His part. God bless you.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Thou art in trusting, Thou art proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust Him, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Brother Pastor Wade. I hear that prayer at home sometimes in the mornings. Help us to acknowledge You in all our ways today. And that went into my heart. Someone in our family prays that way at times. And it can be a day by day, and should be a day by day and experience for us to acknowledge the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And how wonderful it is to know His leading. Even in these areas, I have to tell you, or I can tell you what I told Isaac. Brother Wade, I'm impressed. I don't know how you did that. How you spoke like that. I just could never do that, so that was great. I remember once, I think this was about as personal as I ever got up here, I told the camp was here, and I said, this place is very, Sue, my wife was here too, this place is very special to me. Out there on Watch Rock is the first place I ever held hands with Susan, I remember saying. And afterwards, the head waitress comes to me and says, what did you say? How did you say that in this meeting, you know? So I guess she was responsible for her kids, you know, and that was, Watch Rock is like off limits. And this was off season, by the way. I don't know if that made it better or worse. When we were here, it was in the autumn. But anyway, thank you for sharing. I know that's very meaningful that the Lord is able to lead us and wants to lead us in these areas. Praise the Lord. His way is the best way.